up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too. I'm not in Atlanta right now. I am in what state am I in? California.
Denial.
I'm in California. So, hence the different background.
Yeah. Next, we got Peter. Pete, how you doing?
Hey, everyone. Was this show rated R?
Well played.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't well played. No. Of all the pirate jokes you could have made, no.
It would have all been as bad.
Yeah, most of them are. So, okay. And last but certainly not least, we've got Steve. Steve, how's your week going?
It just started.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess it did just start. Yeah. We record this on a Tuesday. So,
it was a Monday, Tuesday, if that makes sense.
That makes very, very much sense. Guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. We got a trivia night coming up for our 200th episode. We got some, we're going to be going back into the vault a bunch in March. So going to be a fun spring coming up. Now, that being said, tonight, we are watching the last show of the series Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Pete, can you kind of give a recap on, because I'll be honest, I watched this over the course of a long, the whole thing. It's kind of hard for me to be able to kind of put it down into a few words. So,
okay. Well, the story really centers around four kids on this hidden government planet called At-Aten that discover a ship and set it off and basically go on what I would call like a pirate adventure. It's very much anyone that's seen the 80s movie, The Goonies, is kind of had, let's take Star Wars and combine it with that kind of adventure. And it was, they end up running into this person that they think is a Jedi. He ends up being a scoundrel of a pirate, and at first he's helping them and then he's against them. They have a bunch of adventures and they end up getting back to their home, in which they end up having to fight the pirates to kind of save their home city, I guess, or I mean kind of planet, but more, it seems like more just a city. And so it was very much in the vein of, as I said, like a kid's adventure show. And I think that sums it up. Anything else anybody wants to add?
I mean, it's, and I would say, and at the end, the New Republic comes in and beats the pirates.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the New Republic comes in and saves the day. So this is set after Return of the Jedi, similar to a lot of the shows that have been out, particularly Mandalorian and Ahsoka, in that time frame of
that 30 just, years or wherever.
Well, you bet, but like 5 years post Return of the Jedi, which a lot of these shows seem to be set during.
Gotcha. So, okay. Well, Pete, I'm going to go ahead and stick with you on this one as our resident Star Wars semi-expert and disciple. What won the battle from this? What was a great about this series?
I liked it because, again, it was a fun adventure. I mean, Star Wars, you know, George Lucas, when he put out the sequel or the prequels, a lot of people complained about them. And he's like, well, this thing's for kids. I wrote it for kids. That's why it's, you know, there's fart jokes and things. And, you know, this is an example of that. What Star Wars for kids, this is more of a fun, less serious Star Wars. It doesn't get into lore. There, you really don't need to know any characters. In fact, I don't think any characters in this show up that we've ever seen before.
As long as you know what an X-Wing is.
Yeah, I mean, you need to know. You need to know what the Republic is and the Empire is, and if you know that much, I suppose what a Jedi is. But if you know that, you don't need to know like a whole bunch of. It's kind of the opposite of the Ahsoka series, which was so deep into knowing these characters that it really worked best for fans. This show, I think, was they did a good job of making it more accessible. I really liked the kid characters too. All four of them grew on me. The lead character, Wim, at first I found a little bit annoying. But I really, as the show went on, they kind of gave them each their own personality. And I did like, they're kind of the first, at least since The Mandalorian, the kind of the first Star Wars characters that they've put in TV shows that I'm like, I want to see more of these people. And, you know, I'd like to see them in, you know, let's see them when they're older, because, you know, see where they go from here. So those are the things that I think work the best of the show. What about you, Steve?
I really like the Goonies. So I loved the Goonies references. I mean, like the water slide scene. I think there was a first episode where it was very similar to.
I thought that was a Swiss Family Robinson reference.
No,
the water.
Well, yes, but it was also in the Goonies, sort of the big thing.
Yeah, and then I know.
It was the earlier episode, like when he walks in on the pirates, they go into the ship. There was a scene that sort of reminded me of when he walks into the captain's quarters. Sort of got a big good Goonies reference. I like you, Pete. It was overall, it was a great sort of adventure story. I kept my interest when I watched the episodes. I enjoyed that. Loved Neil. He was probably my favorite character, so I really enjoyed him. Especially later finding how it was sort of a combination of practical effects and some CGI, but more mainly practical effects. So that was really cool to see. What about you, Kate?
So I mean, I have made no secret of the fact that like a lot of the Star Wars TV shows I haven't been a big fan of. This is probably in my top three.
Of the shows or of Star Wars in general?
Of the TV shows. I really like kids shows. I like shows that are driven with kid casts. If they're done like this, I like the Goonies. I like Stranger Things. I like things like that. So this, while I am not the biggest Star Wars person, this didn't struggle to completely hold my attention. Excuse me.
As she yawns.
Yeah.
She's had a really long day today. But I loved the innocence of the characters. And I get all of their names mixed up. Which is the one that, the elephant one?
Neil.
I love Neil. One of my favorite parts, I think it was in one of the earlier, it might have been episode 5. It was in one of the earlier episodes when they meet the kid from another planet. And all the other kids are like shooting guns and playing. And Neil just stays back. And she's like, you're not like them. And he's like, no. And she goes, that's okay. Like, I just love how they portrayed the curiosity, the adventure, and the innocence of these kids. I really, really liked that. I thought the way that they did, and I'm sure everybody's going to be like, oh, you didn't see that coming. I did not see it coming that Jude Law was the villain. That actually was a surprise to me. I did not see that coming. And it caught me off guard. And I appreciated that because a lot of times I can't see who's coming as the villain. And I didn't. It's been a very long day. I apologize. So I liked it. I liked the parents coming together to try to help. I liked the droid, surprisingly, even though he was a little crazy at times.
Me? It's me.
Yeah. I liked it. So go ahead, Derek, rip it apart.
No, I'm not going to rip it apart yet. because this is what we liked about it. I am, for the most part, a big Jude Law fan. And he played his part very, very well. He played the... basically, he played a great pirate who can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Was good. I liked that... You kind of saw the supervisor or whatever it was being a computer. You could kind of tell that was coming. But I think that worked. That it was a computer that was in charge of them. Remind me a lot of, especially with the red eye, remind me a lot of Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Open the shield, Hal. I can't do that, Dave. So the shield and them wanting to remain isolationist, while different reasons, kind of reminded me of the original Wakandans in Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Of not wanting, being very, very safe within their own little bubble where no one can find us.
Right.
So there was a little bit of that there. So, yeah.
I liked from the bit of lore that we got, which was around Ad-Aden, that this was a planet that was there as part of the Old Republic. And apparently they didn't realize that the Empire ever took over and there was a big war. And there was a new republic because there were a couple. It wasn't super forward, but I mean, it was clear that they played it that way. And it was kind of interesting to think, oh, these people, you know, it's a big galaxy. These people don't know what's going on in the rest.
They've literally been living in a bubble.
Right. So. Yeah. But they didn't like question the, why is no one coming to collect these? No, we'll just keep making the gold, you know. So the little bit of lore they put in there, I thought was interesting. Something a little different.
Now, that being said, what about this should have been stolen? What should the pirates have picked up and shipped off to never be seen again? Steve?
When? I guess I did not care for his acting. It got a little better, but compared to the other three, I guess... I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. I also did not like, I feel like how they are revealing things. I did not like how they went about it. It seemed like the pacing was off. It's like, it got, took so while to reveal like Ad-Aten, like, cause it started off, which was interesting is Ad-Aten is this mysterious planet really exists from the pirate side. But I guess the reveals did not work for me. And actually, I have a question for Pete. With Jude Law, I can't remember the character's name. If he was not a Jedi, how is he still able to move things? Because I thought he'd at least be force sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, you can be force sensitive. The way it seems to be is that he was force sensitive. And then after the fall of the Jedi,
right.
he came across an actual Jedi, and she started to train him, but then that person was killed. So he has some very basic force powers, but
not enough to be a Jedi.
But he's not. He can't like do mind control or like really move big things or anything. He's just he can stop someone from pulling a switch or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah,
and I gotta imagine like he kind of had to hide it anyways because while the Empire was around, because he would have been killed otherwise. So,
and my other thing, as it happens with all these series, I felt like the last series was a quick wrap up. Let's put a bow on this. Let's put a bow on that. Of where I felt like some of that could be revealed in earlier episodes. I felt like it was sort of a rush, like sort of the fireworks finale. Here's all these big things all happening at once to make the last episode sort of stand out. Yes. What about you, Kate?
So I'm mad that they made Jude Law the villain. I didn't want him to be the villain. I wanted him to prove everyone wrong, because throughout the whole show, everyone was like, don't trust him, don't trust him, don't trust him. And I wanted them to be wrong. I wanted him to prove that he was really going to help these kids. And so when he came out as the villain, I was mad. I didn't want him to be the villain. I agree with Wim's acting, that it was different than the other kids. And my beef is still the same as it was for the first thing. It's so dark. The lighting of it is so dark. And I even, like, because I was watching it on my iPad, I'm trying to brighten it, and I just couldn't, like, I kept having to, like, really squint at the screen and kind of try. So
we had a dim light.
So can I comment on why I think that is?
Yeah, go for it.
I think it's essentially to save money on special effects, because we were watching the last episode and my daughter mentioned the same thing. She's like, oh, this, why is everything at night? And watching it, and like they're all riding the speeder bikes and everything like that. I was like, oh, it's, you know,
you
what,
hide stuff at night.
So yeah, like in the 90s when CGI was really bad, like all the movies would take place at night in the rain because they could, you know, night and rain, it didn't have to look good. and even now today, if you want to save a little money, do it at night. So I wonder if that's the reason was to, because I thought some of the special effects in the finale were a little suspect, and part of that was like, oh yeah, they did this at night so that we don't have to have to make everything look good. So I wonder if that's why they did it.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess, but it makes it, as a viewer, yeah, I'm like, I'm missing things. If they were to put an Easter egg in there, I would have missed it. If they would have done like a plot where, like, all of a sudden you see somebody move in the background and it completely changes the storyline because that person's not supposed to be there, I wouldn't have seen it. So it really bugs me. That in itself is my biggest pet peeve. So, Pete, you go.
I like pirate stuff. Sometimes this was piratey to the point that it was kind of silly in my view, because it's like, this is Star Wars.
And this, like, is from people who liked Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, no, I like Pirates of the Caribbean, and I got a kick out of some of it, but like the blasters had a flintlock sound and things like that. And I'm like, I guess that's clever, but it seems kind of silly to do that. And then, you know, to I don't know. It just, like, why would Star Wars pirates be like as piratey as Earth pirates from the 1700s? I don't know. So I enjoyed a little bit of that, but some of it was just a little too much for me. I mean, even like SM-33, like, he was so piratey. It was kind of silly. I agree with what both you said about Wim. He grew on me towards the end.
I'll agree with that too.
In that I got what they were doing with the character, but they made him very annoying early on. And, you know, as I said, he kind of won me over in that scene with KB when she was, when her biomechanics were breaking down. I guess I agree with you guys. I mean, I don't have any major complaints about this series. I would also agree the pacing wasn't great. There was, I will say, I think it worked as a series, which some of these shows don't, but I think some episodes were paced better than others. And some of them felt kind of superfluous. Yeah. What do you think, Derek?
This did not need to be 240 to 260 minutes long.
Yeah.
It this could have been a movie. The only episode that worked for me for pacing was the finale. And even it was long. I totally agree with Steve that the reveals, you could tell about 19 minutes into an episode, they were going to reveal something that's going to change the story. That's where it happened. Very, very formulaic. I thought very predictable that Jude Law was, to me, I called in that first scene where the pirate gets kicked out by his crew, that was Jude Law, the Jude Law character. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise. I will agree with what Kate said. I didn't know for sure that he was going to turn as villainous.
Right.
I honestly thought that he was going to stick with them until they got back to Aden, and then he was going to try to rob them. I didn't think he was going to like turn on them and threaten them throughout the last three episodes or whatever it was.
Which so, I will give that. Go ahead. Oh, I think that's what they did well.
The don't trust him, don't trust him, don't trust him, don't trust him. Like that was pushed so in our face by everyone. I was like, well, now I have to trust him. Like you're telling me not to trust him. Now I feel like you're going to, I feel like you want me to trust him. So I'm going to trust him. You know, Kate, what I mean?
Yeah. But Kate, if this is made for kids and everyone along the way is telling you not to trust him, don't trust him.
Yeah. But he's a good guy. I can fix him.
Okay. Moving on. You guys talk about how the one kid's acting bothered you, and I'm blanking on her name, but everybody except the strong female character's acting bothered me. Hers, I liked. Fern. I liked her character. Pearl, was it?
Fern.
Terrible name, but unless her parents like conceived on wherever the Ewoks are. Other than that, yeah, she was conceived on Endor. The name Fern works, but and I have made it no secret that I'm not a huge fan of kids leading series. You guys liked Neil. He grew on me a little bit. I agree with Kate, though, the whole him not being like the other kids, and that was fine. I did love that part. But none of the kids... Fern's about the only one I want to see what she does after school. I want to see... She is one that will go out and make a... She will be a X-Wing pilot. She will command her own squadron. The rest of them? And if we didn't like the kids acting, the dad's acting wasn't much better at all.
I didn't say it, but the parent story
was bad.
For how much time they spent on it was useless.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a whole series that's an episode and a half that could have been cut.
Right. They needed one scene where the parents are like, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
Instead, they had 10 scenes of it.
Yeah. And the fact that it ended up, the kids just came back anyway. I mean.
Right. The way they were setting it up, I thought the parents were going to have going to manage to tell the kids where they were. And it ended up just like, oh, yeah, we sent them a note when they were already back here.
Yeah. And then to the heart of my problem with a lot of these series, I want one series without a happy ending. I want one series where the X-Wings came in and lost.
You can't make that one the kid show, though.
Yeah.
I would agree. I can agree with you.
Well, you can. You could.
You could.
I would have hated this terrible.
But you want kids to hate space pirates for all eternity? Make them defeat the X-Wings and capture the whole set of people. I get that a kid's show wouldn't have been done. But that's part of the reason why Rogue One worked, is it was not a happy story.
I will agree with you that there could be a Star Wars show where the bad guys win.
I don't want it to be the Empire that wins.
Have it be the show where kids, not saying a kids show, you cannot have it be the one where the kids are the main characters. It won't do well.
How would you know though until the last episode? Because this show could have set up. If you get rid of the last 5 minutes, this show sets up for at least a cliffhanger, not happy ending.
Oh, I would have hated it.
Yeah, but that I don't.
I can't.
I just it would have.
Do you agree with me on this? Right.
I agree with you on this. Like, how are you doing? Like, so your two options are at least kill one of the kids,
I would not have minded if that had happened.
Yeah, but that's not the show you're making here. I mean, The Acolyte was that show, right? They killed like a whole bunch of characters on that. Most of the characters on that show. Not to say that was a good show. It wasn't.
That show did not have a happy ending.
I mean, the end of it, all the Jedi were dead basically, and the good twin went off with the bad Jedi or the bad Sith. So, I mean, that was a downer ending. I don't disagree with you that we can have shows like that and they be very entertaining, but I agree with Kate that this was not the show to do it with.
Okay. And that's fair. I mean, if you assume again, as I've said, your main characters are the age of your target audience, somewhat anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't have preteens. And you can't have preteens be the target audience for a show where nothing goes right and the government dominates them.
Right.
I will agree with that. I would say that at some point, though, I want that ending to a show. Does that, and specifically to a Star Wars show.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's enough bad guys that at some point they won.
Right.
And at some point, I mean, if you're going to keep going with some of these series, especially if you're going to show when these kids grow up, you're going to show these kids in 15 years, there's your First Order taken over.
Right.
So,
well, like Rogue One sort of did that. They set in motion how things could be saved, but at that point, Darth Vader won.
Yeah, Rogue One was definitely a downer ending. I suspect Andor isn't going to be a super happy ending.
No, Andor is not going to be a happy ending because if Andor leads right into Rogue One,
right,
which is going to, it's supposed to,
right. But so, I'm saying we could lose a bunch of characters on that show too.
Yeah, I mean, Gollum's going to die if he hasn't already because he couldn't swim.
Right.
Okay, are you always expecting like happy endings? Because I'm thinking like teaching elementary, like Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah,
right.
Where the Red Fern Grows. Oh my gosh. Right. I could not read that ending of either Bridge to Terabithia or Where the Red Fern Grows out loud without choking up. And my kids were going, what's wrong with you? And I'm going, this is sad. Because kids have to be shown that not everything has a happy ending. And again, I'm not arguing that this was the series for it.
Yeah, I think it would have been okay in this series to have a character that they meet up with along the way get killed, to have that. Because I mean, you know,
that was Walt Disney, right?
Walt Disney was all about, hey, you got to have some bad with your good.
Have you watched or read the Harry Potter books?
Yeah,
I'm not going to give any spoilers because a lot of people haven't. But like, they kill off
there's enough people living under rocks that you're worried about that?
Believe it or not, yes. Believe it or not, yes. But they kill off.
Well, it's like when in the books, when all the hobbits that went off to middle to there, when they all die at the end.
But I mean, Harry Potter still has an uplifting ending in the end.
So. And in the end, no Beatles. Mm. So, okay. Now we've kind of segued into this next one. And Kate, I'm going to let you start on this one.
Let's go.
If this was somewhat of a standalone series where you really didn't have to know anything and you have said you liked it, do you think these standalone series work?
Yes. Because you don't have to know the lore. I like them. I like the standalone series. I like when they give me everything that I need to know and I'm not expected to know. I'm not expected to know everything prior. I like that. So yeah, works. I think it works. What about you, Pete?
I do. I like a mix. Knowing all the lore, again, we covered Ahsoka here, and I think of this group of four of us, I was the only one that really liked it. And I think a lot of that was because knowing all the lore made it more interesting than it would have been not knowing it, and or knowing it in depth. I know we'd gone over some of it, but I also like a show like this where it's like, okay, well, I can watch, because my wife's seen a lot of Star Wars with me, but it's still a case where she doesn't remember it all because it's just not that important to her. So, it's nice watching a show like this and being able to go, yeah, we don't have to, she doesn't have to go, well, who's this guy? What's that going on? So I don't know. I thought this was, I think it's good to have some standalone shows. I think they should do a mix of them. There should be some shows, and honestly, like even The Mandalorian, I thought the third season, which got way, way more into the lore of Star Wars, was the weakest season of that show. So you become too beholden to this giant picture. And I think it's easier and cleaner to just be like, yeah, it's set in this universe, but let's just tell a story. So I like that. I would like them to do that with more movies, quite honestly. Or make me movies, period.
Steve?
I agree with everything they said. I think if it's done well, that it could bring more people into the universe of this setting, because it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be the galaxy. So there's lots of stories out there. It makes me go back to early. If Atten didn't know what was going on, are there other ones who had no idea of what was going out in the galaxy, because they're out in the far reaches?
I would agree with that. I like not having to know. I think there's a balance to be had. I think Boba Fett actually walked that balance. Now, it was not a good show, but taking enough characters a couple characters that you knew to draw you in, and then not necessarily needing to know who they really were for the show to work. I mean, Book of Boba Fett was not a good show. Well, it was good if you consider it Mandalorian 3.5. but I think these shows can work. I don't know that we have seen one. I think for the casual fan, you almost have to draw in draw in the X-Wings at the end. Draw in something. Okay, now this really is happening in Star Wars. If the whole idea was that they were in this bubble, then part of me says, and they liked being in this bubble. Once the pirates come and they have them be the ones to figure out how to defeat the pirates and get themselves back in the bubble. Let them be able to stand by themselves, as opposed to all of a sudden, because there are lost regions out there. Even when, they're out looking for Luke Skywalker, there's parts of the galaxy that they don't know where stuff is. They don't know what's there. So leave Ad Atten by itself. Let it truly stand. Let the cheese truly stand alone. So, all right.
I have one other question though. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were kind of half expecting the controller or whatever it was, the supervisor, to be a droid. I thought it was going to end up that it was like that other pirate that crashed the ship there. I can't remember his name, but the pirate whose treasure room they found.
Okay. Yeah.
Voss, or I don't know. It wasn't Voss, but it was something like that. Voss. Yeah. Did anybody else think that might happen? That like, they keep talking about the supervisor. It's going to end up being that other pirate guy. They're going to find out he got there and he like basically snuck in and took over, and he's like funneling all the cash out or something like that. Did anyone think that was going to happen, or was that just me?
I went a whole lot more Wizard of Oz in 1984 type direction.
I mean, now that you mentioned, I could see that, but I was more leaning towards like Derek, like something where it's all computer based. So
yeah, I didn't see it being robot. I mean, it makes sense because you have all these droids that are the security droids and they're all watching over everybody. But
droids
surprised me.
How long do you think it will be before we actually like have droids? Like robots that are autonomous.
Sentient.
Yeah. Or and like help us with like things around the house.
Well, Elon's got those, he's selling them. So
okay.
Kinda now.
Okay. Moving right along.
Oh, there it is. Kate.
Okay.
So as we always do on these shows, we grade them on cups of pixie dust out of 5. So Kate, or Star Wars Skeleton Crew, what are we going to rate it out of 5?
So I had asked Derek on the side what I had ranked Andor, because I remember enjoying Andor. So I'm going to give it the same as I gave Andor, which was a 3. Go ahead.
I'm going to give this a 3.5. I was thinking of a 4, but it wasn't quite good enough to go there. So I think I'm going to give it a 3.5. Steve, what about you?
I'm going with a 3. I enjoyed it, but as I was talking to a friend at work who's also watching it, but I wasn't dying to see necessarily the next week's episode. Yeah. When I got to it, I enjoyed it. So a 3.
I'm going with a 2, to be perfectly honest.
Higher than I thought you were going to go.
It did not hold my attention, but I liked the last episode and I liked what they tried to do on this. So if you are looking for something that you have no need to know old Star Wars knowledge, and you want to try getting into the Star Wars universe in a different way, I think this is a good vessel to try. If you don't want to just go and watch episode 4. I mean, does that make sense? If you want to try getting it, you kind of like Star Wars, but you want to try, you know, getting into it a different way, this might be your direction.
Yeah. Or if you want to get your kids into it without, if you want to get your kids into it, I'd say watch Rebels. But, you know, if you want to get, this would be a good show. This would be
by the time they're done.
What?
They're watching Rebels. They'll be teenagers by the time they're done.
But you know what I'm saying? Like the last few series, even Andor, it's not really a kid's show. Acolyte wasn't a kid's show, you know? And so if you're trying to get your kids into Star Wars, I think this would be a good thing, as you say. If you don't want to watch the original movies for whatever reason, because they like feel like they're too old or something like that, I think this would be good.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
What have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We just have really just one thing for Disney Plus news, because there's two, but they're kind of go hand in hand. Basically, while season 1 has not yet premiered, Daredevil has already been greenlit for a season 2, which will start shooting shortly. The trailer for Daredevil premiered this week, and the tone is very similar to the Netflix version, with it seeming especially violent compared to the other shows we have watched on here.
which is why, to be perfectly honest, unless it is not like the other shows we have watched, unless it's not like the trailer predicts, we will not be diving deep into Daredevil on this show. We like to stay a little bit more kid related. Yes, we did Deadpool and Wolverine, but Deadpool and Wolverine was more, it didn't seem, the violence there didn't seem real or realistic. The trailer to Deadpool, very.
I will be watching it, so I will come in with updates.
If you want to watch it, fine. We're not going to dedicate a couple of episodes to the series, though. We may discuss it a little bit here and there. It will not be the focus of shows on this series.
Yeah, I did, because I only watched, I think, about a season and a half of the original show, and so I actually started rewatching the Netflix version, which you can get on Disney Plus if you take off the child protective block. So it is there hiding behind the
password wall.
But it's pretty easy to find, actually. Just type Daredevil and it's, you know, you should be able to find it. Yeah. But yeah, I started watching the first two episodes and yeah, tone is very similar to the trailer for sure.
Yeah. So next week, we are completely shifting gears, and we're going to be watching the documentary Elton John, Never Too Late. This actually is going to cover his early years of his career in the lead up to his last concert at Dodger Stadium. We have not watched that. That is a separate documentary of a concert film, basically.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to be watching Elton John, Never Too Late. It's gotten very, very good reviews. I think it's up for an Oscar. Actually, Oscar nominations haven't come out yet, but it's up for Golden Globes. So
I hope it's good. I hope it's not terrible.
Who on here is an Elton John fan?
I am.
I've seen him in concert. It was awesome.
I did watch that Los Angeles concert, and it was a concert film. I mean, it wasn't, it wasn't. If you liked Elton John, it was a good concert film. And if you didn't, I'm sure you wouldn't have liked it. But I'm curious to see how they're going to do this, because it does have some stuff from recent and it has some stuff from early. I'm more interested in the early. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I'm more interested in the early stuff, too. So now, as I said, we have some fun stuff planned on coming up. We've got kind of January, February is mostly done. March is mostly done. But there's going to be some gaps in here where it may not be as bad as last year, but there's going to be some weeks where not much is coming out. So we can always use suggestions. Otherwise, it's the four of us picking the show and we watch what we want to or have to. But if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us messages on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. No advertisement messages, please. But if you've truly got suggestions, let us know and we will always take suggestions. We have new episodes Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.